and we're recording.
Okay. The story I was about to tell is, I don't remember the date.
Hey, Don. So, so I'm going to introduce you now.
Okay.
Today is the 22nd of November. It's 2014. This is a phone conversation, a recorded phone conversation between Donald Hay, last name spelled H-A-Y, and Tom Martin. Don, is that the correct spelling of your last name?
Yes.
And what year were you born?
1937.
And so you went through Glen Canyon in 1953.
We put in the river the week after my 16th birthday.
What were you doing? This was a Phoenix YMCA trip.
Right.
What were you doing in Phoenix? What were your parents doing there?
My dad owned a liquor store.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the Golden Gate Barrio?
No.
It's the history books about it now. It was Southeast Phoenix out near the airport, and it was an official barrio for Indians and Mexican descent people.
Okay.
And we were about the one or two non-brown people in the area. My dad owned the liquor store.
Okay.
And I figured out years later, talking to my eighth grade teacher, a charity case at the YMCA.
How do you mean?
I didn't realize. They gave me a membership down there.
Really?
Actually, we were the only family in the neighborhood that had any money.
Huh.
Anyway, I was in the YMCA, and they put up this trip for $75.
Which back then was a considerable chunk of change.
Well, yeah, still for 2 weeks. So Del Webb hauled us up in an open truck.
So Dell provided the truck?
Company.
Yep.
No, he didn't drive the truck. I never met him.
No, I'm sorry, but Dell Webb provided the truck?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Barry Goldwater owned the rafts and the paddles.
And there were two or three rafts?
At least. I think there were 16 boys or something.
Okay.
It's on that paper. I think you have it that Gus sent you.
Yes. If I dig that up,
I was 8,841 on
that
page.
You bet.
Okay, well, the story I was going to tell about Goldwater is that Randall Henderson, who was sort of a green editor before the term existed in the old Desert Magazine,
okay,
ran Goldwater stuff back in the 40s and maybe even before, for all I know. And I remember reading very clearly something written, I think, in the 40s, where Randall described all the things that Goldwater had done, was doing, and said he is a master of everything he does. And fortunately for us, he's decided not to go into politics. And this was, of course, before 1952 when he was elected to the Senate.
Okay.
Okay, another little interesting tidbit for history. As we, in the 53 trip, we put in the second week of July at Heights Ferry.
Okay.
Well, you know all of these episodic things that Edward Abbey wrote about his experiences?
Hmm.
Well, somewhere in one of his books, I don't know, Slumgullion Stew or one of those things, he was on the other side of the river that week. He was on the south side of the river, had driven up there.
Huh.
And I always have wondered about that. He might not have been such a sweet, pleasant person if he had met me. I might have made him a cynical troublemaker.
You didn't pester old Ed, did you?
No, I'm afraid that as a 16-year-old kid, and I think he was with his girlfriend at the time, so he probably wasn't, even if he was there that same day, he probably wouldn't have been too interested in us.
So it sounds like you guys went from Phoenix to Prescott that first day.
I don't remember. You almost would have to in those days because Black Canyon, of course, didn't exist.
Right.
I remember we drove... We slept at night somewhere on the Navajo territory, somewhere up in their Navajo land. We were out on the reservation.
Yes.
Is that a PC word now? Or?
Well, yeah, sure. It's fine. The second
it was in the early 50s anyway.
Second night, I've got a picture of you guys. Actually, the truck's pulled over on a dirt road, and you guys are cooking right on the side of the road.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I remember we were just camped out.
Yeah.
And we went to the road, such as it was, ended at Capitol Reef.
Okay. So.
And from there, we went down in this open truck, which is probably illegal as all get out now.
Yeah. Do you remember stopping at Vermilion Cliffs at all?
No, I don't remember that. We drove right past them, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I remember we went through Moab.
Okay.
And there were some teenage girls there, and we asked them the score of the All-Star game, and they didn't know what we were talking about. That's, you know, you remember these weird things.
So through Moab and then down?
And from there, it was more or less of just a long dirt road down to Heights.
Oh, one single lane road?
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. In fact, it... it was. I have memories of that.
Do you remember running across a broken down truck on the way and helping them doing a little mechanics work at all?
No,
okay.
I don't. Now, if you talk to Gus, I think, went on three of these trips.
Well, so I must tell you that as we're talking along here, I am going through Gus's photos. So I'm looking at this one lane road. I'm looking at this broken down truck where you've all stopped and piled out.
I'd love to see that.
Well, let's visit then. This would be fun.
Did you get my newspaper pictures?
I did. Thank you very much for sending those.
I love the one of Music Temple.
Yeah. So
there are some names on that wall.
Got down to the ferry, and did you guys ride across the ferry? Do you remember that
no.
at all?
Or, well,
it was
I
just
remember
there.
It. It was one of those old. It was the old, I guess, Model A or Model T engine kind of
mm-hmm.
thing
to pull it along.
Yeah.
Yep.
Years later. Oh, geez, not too long ago, 15 years or something.
Are you still there? It sounds like we've lost connection, so I'm going to call. I'm going to... Don, you still there? Hello? Hello? I'm going to call him back. Sorry about that.
No, I think I did it. I hold it too tight and I hit the off button. They don't put the buttons in the right place for me.
Exactly.
Anyway, I ran into a woman at Green River and the one in Utah Museum.
Yes, sir.
And she said she and her husband ran that place in 53.
Heights
Ferry.
Is that right?
Yeah, and of course I don't remember any names. But I was bragging to her about my experience in Glen Canyon, and she talked to me. She lived there.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So it looks like you had some rubber boats. You got to the river. You got the rubber boats out of the truck and blew them up mostly by hand, it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was, and I'm sure there were any of the... And I have a memory, it's not positive, that those were legitimate World War II rafts. I don't think there were commercial rubber rafts being made there.
No, it looks like they're legitimate 10-man's World War II surplus.
Yeah.
Yep, with thwarts in them going from the side to side across the middle there. And it doesn't look like you guys had any frames, per se.
I don't remember anything like that. It was, no.
Okay.
And I don't remember how many we had. In my boat raft, Dr. Barker was the adult.
Who was Dr. Barker?
Okay, Dr. Barker was a family physician.
Okay.
And he went on the trip with us.
Okay.
And he was just the classic old family. I remember years later in my... I was a first-year teacher with no money, and I had a sick kid. He said, well, he told us how to make medicine out of home stuff because we couldn't afford anything in those days. He practiced in Phoenix for a long time.
Okay. Huh.
Also, one of the great moments, it's hard to understand today, but we were loading the rafts one morning. He and I were down there with another kid, and another kid came running down the sand dune screaming, "I've been bitten by a scorpion."
Okay.
And he had a scorpion hanging from his testicles.
Oh.
And, of course, it's funny now, but then it was terrifying because in those days it would have been, what, days before we could have gotten help.
That's right. That's right.
We had no radio. We had no transportation.
Right.
Actually, but it was, the scorpion was just hanging there, more scared than he was. Mm. Dr. Barker handed him a tube of salve and said, "Put it on. I'm not going to."
Hmm.
Mm-hmm, and he also said, "Scorpions don't bite, son. They sting. You're okay." He was a classic old country doctor. He's the one that he told my wife once when the kid was sick, had a cold. He said, "Well, I can give him a shot, some pills, and he'll be okay in a week and a half. Or we can just let it go, and he'll be okay in 10 days.
Huh. Yes.
There must be some records of him. He was classic.
Huh.
They could have made a movie about him.
So it looks like there were four boats at least.
Yeah, we had 16 of us kids and then three or four adults.
Okay. So that'd be 20 or so in the group.
Yeah. So that'd be about right for four, wouldn't it?
Four or five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you contacted Willis Peterson yet? Gus knows him, I'm pretty sure.
You know, I don't think I've gotten through to Willis yet. Gus has mentioned him, but...
Yeah, he was a major photographer. He taught college photography and sold major stuff. He was one of those Arizona Highway guys type guys.
Did he take a lot of pictures on this trip?
Yeah, that's all. He was a photographer.
Do you have contact information for him?
I don't have anything. Gus does.
Okay.
And I think Gus said he lives in Cottonwood or somewhere in Verde Valley, not very far from Gus, because
okay.
Gus is just right over Bingus Mountain from him, I guess.
Willis. Huh, I'm just going to do a little
Willis
quick.
Peterson, yeah. My memory is that picture I sent you of all of us under the arch.
Yes.
That was the cover photo of Boy's Life, the Boy Scout magazine. He sold an article to them.
Okay.
And I never saw it. Never. I have actually looked for it on eBay over the years and such things. But
So Gus
is the one that sent me that picture.
So indeed, Gus has been communicating with Willis. Gus sent me an email here. I'll look around my files. They're somewhere. The problem is they're 35 millimeter and therefore are mixed up with other pics in carousels. When I find them, I'll bundle up a bunch for you. Meanwhile, drop by sometime. Going to have an exhibit on Sri Lanka shown in Prescott College. Well, I need to get in touch with... So Willis sounds like he went by Pete.
I don't remember that. That could well be.
Okay.
No, I remember he had just been married 2 or 3 weeks. And that's the only thing I can remember about him, other than he was the classic photographer. He was making us do everything 2 or 3 times to get a picture.
Okay.
I wound up teaching photography and being a photographer. I know how they are.
Fun. So you guys just jumped on the river and headed on downstream.
And
was this new for you?
2 weeks.
Had you ever done anything like this before?
Oh, God, no.
So had you camped out before?
I don't know that I'd ever been in a boat before.
Okay. Had you camped out?
A little bit. My dad being a small businessman, there wasn't a whole lot of that. I was in the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
And I had a pretty good scoutmaster. We did some stuff. I remember we used to go out to Cave Springs when it was out way out in the country before it was a city itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And things like that. But not really. I had no strong camping background. No.
And it looks like something happened to one of the boats, like it became deflated or something and had to be modified right on site. Do you remember?
I have no memory of that.
Okay. And life jackets. Did you guys have life jackets?
I don't remember. I don't think we did anything. We you know, like going up there in an open truck and things like that. You know, it was a different world in the early 50s.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure we didn't have life jackets, or we didn't use them, because we spent, it was hot, you know, and we spent a lot of time in the water.
One of the adults was wearing a military helmet.
We had a guy that was what you would call post-traumatic stress disorder today. In those days, it was shell shock.
Okay, yes.
And I think he was a charity case of the YMCA.
Okay.
But he kept talking about this was good for him to get the killing out of his head. You know, this was still a while. So he was either World War II or Korea.
Okay, okay.
And had seen combat and was probably not who the parents would want their sons around.
Gus has pictures of this gentleman. He's wearing a tight, that military helmet is on there tight. It's and he's you know, wearing his underwear, and that's it, and a military helmet, maybe some
shoes.
Yeah,
I can remember I don't remember the helmet, but I remember my dad had a liquor store near, and we had a few of those guys were his customers, and I'd met these guys, and they're pretty, you know, I was a little young kid, and so they were always giving me advice, mainly get the hell, stay away from the military.
It looks like you guys went and visited Bert Loper's cabin out there. It was in a cornfield or right near one.
We did meet a guy that was farming. Is that just a little way down from Heights Ferry?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember we that was the only guy we saw, as I remember, until we got to Lee's Ferry.
Okay.
And there were people living in the old cabins at Lee's Ferry.
Yes, okay.
But I don't remember anything about that other than that there were people in those. This was before the Park Service changed Lee's Ferry. So
yes, sure.
You've read Edward Abbey's great description of the Park Service.
Well, that and Pat Riley's.
What they did at Lee's Ferry.
Pat Riley's.
In the name of preserving it.
Yeah, yeah, with the dozer and.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you know Pat Riley's from Marin Crossing to National Park, Lee's Ferry. His huge work. A really great book.
Yeah.
So it looks like y'all went up to Bert Loper's cabin. And cloudy, monsoon season.
Great waterfall day.
Yeah?
We got one of the. I'm sure you've seen that in your experience.
When the rain comes in. What was it like in Glen Canyon?
Yeah, surrounded by several hundred feet high waterfalls.
Oh, nice. Wonderful.
Yeah, we had that experience. That was
There's a picture here of the river and cliffs on the skyline and heads, just heads in the water. You guys are clearly just swimming along.
A lot. We did that a lot.
Did you?
It was so hot.
Okay.
We would drift on logs or rafts or just, yeah.
Just jump
and
in.
And I don't remember any life jackets.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any yet.
Yeah.
And it looks like you had some oars. Not just paddles, but some big, long oars.
Right. And one of the great sadnesses of my life is one of those oars we all carved our names on.
Oh.
And then at the end, we drew cards, I think, or straws or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was cards. And the high card or low card was to get the oar. And I was tied with somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
And for some reason, I think someone said he had a spade and I had a heart, and spades ranked above hearts or something. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, I didn't get the oar, but I thought I was going to. And I remember that from 60 years ago.
Wow.
I'm a bad loser.
No, that would have been a really neat documentation of that trip. It looks like you guys camped just above Tapestry Wall, which would have been.
Yeah, I just did one of those tourist things up at Page, and I remember we were there.
Oh, did you get on the boat and go up canyon?
Yeah, one of those, the tourist kind of thing, you know, where there's 20 or 30 of us.
What did you think compared then to now?
Well, it's a whole different world. You know, we thought the dam was a good idea in 1953. We were Arizona kids, you know.
Okay.
I'm sort of a political liberal retrobate. I wish it hadn't happened.
Okay. Now, do you? I want to explore this a little bit if you've got a mind, because it did seem as though it was the right thing to do, in theory at the time. At least some people thought so. Clearly, some people thought it was not. After that trip through Glen, did you? you were only 16.
Yeah.
Did that change your thoughts about the dam at all?
I had a change. I don't remember being that young.
Okay.
Social consciousness doesn't seem like part of my youth.
Sure, sure. You know? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't remember where I decided it wasn't. And I'm sure I didn't come up with the idea. I probably read or heard someone talk about it and then started to think about it.
Okay.
I think it was one of your books, somewhere I've read, something we did. We were asked by some government agency, I don't know who, to burn the driftwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we did set some, you know, big piles of driftwood. And, we, of course, as teenage kids, we just thought that was wonderful.
That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that your book?
It's a question. I have never found that in writing anywhere from a government agency requesting river runners to turn into pyromaniacs. Now, many river runners were pyromaniacs, and so it was an easy ask if it was asked.
Yeah, we were told by somebody ahead of our, an adult in our group, that we were asked to do that.
Okay.
You know, I, of course, have no more information than that.
Yeah.
If we really were.
So now looking back in hindsight, having been one of the lucky few to go through Glen Canyon, lucky couple 10,000 maybe people that did that, and having been out on the reservoir as a result of the dam, what are your thoughts today?
I think I'm as happy about that as anything's ever happened in my life outside of my family stuff.
You mean going on that trip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's sort of interesting because I can't keep my mouth shut. I was at the Grand Canyon. Well, we go to the Grand Canyon almost every year. We walk down my wife and I walk down that Phantom Ranch every year at least twice.
Great. Wow.
Once or twice.
Good for you.
This year on her 79th birthday, we did it.
Oh, excellent.
But I came across the fishing crews, the Park Service fishing crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to tell them.
Good for you. So I want to come back to this because I don't think I asked the question right. Understanding today's recreation on Lake Powell and the dam and what it was like before the dam, you've kind of hinted at that, but it sounds as though if you'd had your druthers, you would not have had the dam. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
I think it was a mistake. I think we could have done the same thing other ways.
Why?
One thing is I don't know that the water works because you have a significant loss through evaporation because
sure.
of the lake.
Sure.
We lost, I know this is modeling, but sacred is not out of place for land like that.
Okay.
You know, I think that's a fair description and the value of it to us as a people in our heritage. I'm really uncomfortable using words like that, but I think it's appropriate.
And so my take on this would be that you would not use the word sacred to describe many areas of the planet.
Unfortunately, probably to simplify it, probably is where too many people are. I guess that's sort of
I'm thinking,
part.
You know, when I think about sacred landscapes, there are very few of them that touch me in that way.
Oh, yeah, that's definite. We lived on a South Sea island, and they really look like the travel posters.
Hmm.
I was stationed for a year in Micronesia, and the water is that blue and that
right.
clear.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, they do touch you in a way that is, here I go, spiritual, I guess.
So,
and the desert, of course, I'm a desert rat.
What made it that for you? I mean,
I don't know.
Because
it's not part of my heritage in any way. My family wasn't particularly outdoorsy or anything like that.
Having never been to Glen Canyon and having talked to some people who went through there, I hear this expressed a lot, what you've just said. And so can you help me understand this more? What was it about the place?
I'm not that articulate. Got a master's in literature. It was involved in writing, not reading. I mean, in reading, not writing. A lot of things. One thing is my wife was a ranger at the Grand Canyon. We got married. Her family's Park Service. So I think, you know, over 55 years of contact with them has shaped me a lot.
Okay.
Her father was one of these classic guys, CCC, laborer, parlayed that into a job in the Park Service and retired as a GS-15 administrator in the Park Service.
Okay.
That generation of guys.
Okay.
In fact, at one time, they were even discussing he would be superintendent of Grand Canyon.
I want to ask you more about how you met your wife and about your experiences in Grand Canyon, but for right now, I'm still kind of stuck on Glen Canyon and why that place meant so much to you.
Well, one thing, I think, a lot of things, I've thought about this over the years and had a couple of friends close enough that I would actually talk about it. Ain't nobody ever been there, you know. We were places, there was another guy, he and I hit up friendship, and we would walk at night. And I'm sure we were not the first people to walk in some of these ridges, but we could well have been the first people of European descent to walk in those ridges, or pretty damn close to us.
So you would just scramble up the slick rock then to the rim.
Go stuff. We all of us went up, walked up. What is it? Hole in the wall? Is that the correct term?
Hole in the rock.
Where you could see the axe marks in the sandstone.
Yes.
Yeah, we did that, but we did stuff every night almost. We'd just take off if we didn't have some sort of duties with the food or something.
Uh-huh.
We'd just take off and go. And I doubt that anybody can go anywhere on this continent that the original inhabitants weren't. But we had to be. There could not have been very many people from Europe ancestry that had been where we were.
Uh-huh.
Handful. In fact, the Henrys were still pretty well untouched in the early 50s.
What was it like up on the slick rock at sunset up there?
Oh, you're going to get me crying now. Yeah, it was like a South Sea sunset. It really is like the pictures in the bad movies. It's pretty spectacular. Even as 16-year-old kids, we had that thought, you know?
Hmm.
And you can't think of anything more insensitive maybe than a teenage male. But, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we knew then. We talked about that. We're seeing some stuff here. Yeah. Gus, Gus went there several times. Gus must have really been touched by it.
He has.
I think Gus even walked in from a Navajo Mountain once.
And he very generously let me scan his slides. And getting him to talk about Glenn, he will cry fairly easily. I've interviewed him a couple times. It's painful. It's painful for
Well,
him.
You know, it is because I remember I went to Page to the Carl Hayden place,
mm-hmm.
and they have the original register there.
Okay.
Or did. I think they might have moved it to Tucson. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah,
but they had
know.
It there.
Yeah.
And I was really self-conscious about going and barging in and saying, you know, I'd like to see that. Because I have all of it on a DVD.
You do. So you have what I sent you. Yes. All right. Great.
Oh, yeah. I have all that. I've read the whole thing three or four. There's some names in there.
Yes, there are.
There are some names. But, you know, when I finally found the place, I couldn't get rid of the people. They wouldn't let me go. It was like almost like I was a sort of a celebrity or something. Because even though they had this book with all these great, and George O'Keefe, just all sorts of things. There's something as a historian you might want to check. I don't know. There are several references in the 20s or 30s. From the Lasky Group, which was a filmmaking group out of Hollywood.
Hmm.
He was a fairly big-name filmmaker. And he went through with some of his crew, and they were going to make a film or something about that.
Is that right?
And I have no idea if they did, if it exists, or anything.
Wow.
But Victor Lasky, is that right? I don't know, maybe Victor's another name in my name. But it's Lasky was a big film company in the 20s and 30s in Los Angeles.
How would you spell L-A-S-K-E?
K-Y, I guess, yeah. I'm sure, yeah, it is. I'm sure that's right. L-A-S-K-Y.
And you're thinking it might
have
been Victor?
The name Victor is in my head, but that could be something else. I don't know. But in the registry, there are people that work for him. Cameramen came down in separate trips. He talks about it. Eddie McKee's name in there. That's, you know, the naturalist.
Yep, yep.
The famous one out of Grand Canyon. Roger Toll, who's a big name in the history of the Park Service. George O'Keefe. A 19-year-old L. Scott Carpenter, who was one of the original astronauts.
Huh. Movie producer and founder of Paramount Pictures is Jesse Lewis Lasky.
Okay, that sounds right.
Victor
Lasky might be a name out of a movie I saw.
Victor Lasky is 1918-1990s American newspaper columnist and writer.
Okay, so that's not the right guy then.
Okay.
Unless he turned into a movie producer later.
But no, it would be interesting if Paramount with Lasky, because it would be interesting to, it would be pretty easy to look that name up.
It would be exciting. You know, they find film every once in a while in somebody's library or something.
Yep. I bet that's in there.
Nobody knows what it is or cares.
Looks like you guys just were getting drinking water right out of the springs so long as you went along.
I remember a couple of them tasted bad.
Okay.
And, I don't remember any water treatment other than we would, this was the original Colorado River water.
Yep.
We would set buckets out at night.
Okay.
And take the top gallon or two or whatever
mm-hmm. And
let the stuff settle.
Yes. And that was good drinking?
I don't remember us drinking it either. Because we probably did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody ever told us not to drink the water in those days, you know. I can remember my scoutmaster once said, well, he saw a dead cow in the stream once. Maybe we ought to check the water. But that was the first time I'd ever even heard of that, not drinking water.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it was just water, you drank it.
Yeah.
And if you settled it, it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
How long have you been doing river stuff?
Oh, about a tenth as long as you. What else do you remember about this trip? I mean, it just looks like it was stunning. It was monsoon season. The mornings were just clear.
Yeah. Well, there was a sandstorm or two.
Okay.
Maybe just one, and it was so dramatic I remembered it as two.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's camped on those dunes and the wind blowing.
What was that like?
It also, something else came neat out of it. I just thought a connection. Not on our trip. But a YMCA secretary is Ray Day at that time.
Okay.
Who I went to school with his brother at Phoenix Union High School. Ray hired me to work at the Prescott camp, YMCA camp at Prescott.
Ah.
And then somewhere about 57, in the spring of 57, he hired me to go with him on a couple of times to Havasu.
Hmm.
We took groups of boys down in camp, down in the Supai.
What year was that?
That would have been about 57.
Okay. Before we leave Glen Canyon, because I want to get to Grand Canyon, anything else you want to add about that 1953 trip?
You know, I don't remember anything specific. The only name Griffith, is that the guy that was head of it? I don't remember. The YMCA guy that was head of it, I had met later and did a little stuff with at the Y. And then Dr. Barker took care of my kids when I was making $4,000 a year teaching school. And we had no insurance. I don't remember any other contacts after that. It's just that I do remember walking in the late afternoon up on the ridge or such things and seeing, you know, miles and miles of no people.
Mm. So this is okay. I'm going to read a little bit here from your login. It's a third annual Rainbow Trail conducted by the Phoenix YMCA from Hite to Lee's Ferry in four rubber assault boats.
Four. I kind of
Lou okay. Smith. No, Lou. Tom. Gads.
Yeah, I have that sheet somewhere.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if these names ring a bell as we're kind of look at this from the adults. King Cooper.
None of them. One of them. I can't remember. I saw later in the paper it became a lawyer in the Phoenix area.
One of the kids on the trip?
Yeah, and Dr. Barker was still in contact with some of them, and every once in a while when I would go over, he would tell me about so-and-so. It didn't really mean a lot to me.
You know, it's interesting. You guys signed in on the 23rd of July, and the next sign-in was the 28th.
Yeah, I've noticed that. That is really interesting, isn't it? And that people just weren't going.
Before you was the 16th, so it was almost like in the middle of the summer, there was a trip a week. My heavens.
Yeah, and I think the trip before us, the Dodges, and I think
that's right.
Isn't that a Navajo group?
No. Oh, you know what? That's Homer Dodge and his son, Nort. And they were in Drummond canoes.
I've seen that name around in books.
Homer Dodge is an amazing physicist. I made contact with one of the people that was on it, one of the trips he was on, and he had a great series of photographs which we scanned in. He didn't get along with Homer real well, but didn't have much good to say about him. But some great pictures from that river trip. So that was fun. But it's interesting, because there they are, and they're a week in front of you. They were down there in canoes. It looks like just him and his son.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So when was the first time you saw Grand Canyon, Don?
1946. After the war, we went up. It must have been fall, because I remember being very cold and a 41 Packard.
And this was the first time your dad and mom had been up there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's my first memory. I just came across Bob Goldwater's name, Barry's brother, in 19... he was the 3,000th entry.
Okay.
1951. No, we lived in Flagstaff before World War II, in the early part of World War II.
Oh, you did? What were you doing there?
My dad worked... he was actually working for Dale Webb, I think, or okay. in the... A lot of, see, I was born in 37, so I don't remember a lot about that.
Okay.
Remember, we lived in a little old motel on 66, which was two-lane cement slab. But we did not have a car. I know we did not have a car then. Waldo Dixon. That name sounds familiar. Was he the painter? Oh, my God. And there's another Goldwater. I can't tell which one.
So you're looking at register.
1950 I'm looking at.
You're looking at register names now,
no,
huh?
So my first memory is going there in 46.
Okay.
And then we got there several times in the 50s. Then I met my wife in Phoenix in 1958.
How did you meet her?
To be what? My wife. Well, she and I both, I was a student teacher and she was a teacher at South Mountain High School.
Okay.
And then
what was her name?
She got a job as a summer ranger, seasonal, like, you know, in 59. And so I...
what was her name, Don?
Sylvia Lyles was her family name.
Okay.
And I went to Arizona State College at Flagstaff to graduate school that summer.
Okay.
And we got married then at the canyon that summer.
Fun. And so... first time hiking in Grand Canyon. When did you do that?
That would have been the Supai.
Okay. 57, 58?
Yeah, probably 57.
Okay. What do you remember about
might
that?
Might have been 56. It could have been 56. I worked for the Phoenix at the Prescott Camp in the summer of 55. So it could have been 56. I don't remember.
Okay.
No, it couldn't have been either, because in 56 I was in Marine Reserves all summer.
All right.
Playing John Wayne back in the mountains of Virginia.
Huh. What do you remember about that first hike down to Supai?
50 cents to get in.
Yeah.
I remember it was hot, and of course there was almost no visitation in those days.
Hmm.
And so to get away from the bugs and the heat, we actually camped with the boys on the beach at Havasu Falls.
Wow. Great.
Which, you know, is really a no-no now.
Hmm.
And I have been back every decade since.
Is that right?
In one form or another.
So what changes have you seen over the decades, good and bad?
At Supai?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's terrible. There were no government housing then. The people were all great. And when the last time I was down there, the kids were flashing gang signs, looking for drugs. There was graffiti on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a huge number of obese kids and adults. The population had increased immensely.
Okay. Well, as has the rest of the West.
It was very unpleasant the last time I was there.
Huh.
It was heartbreaking.
Interesting. So when you first went in there, you didn't see that much obesity?
I don't remember it.
Okay.
I don't remember anybody being obese. My high school, I went to a big high school. I only remember two kids that were overweight.
Okay.
You know, it was a different world, different kind of diet, everything.
Hmm. All right.
I'm an old crank when it comes to that.
Yeah. Huh.
I think that's one of the sad things that's happened in our culture. And the statistics I read in the paper sort of bear that out.
Uh-huh. They do. They do. Yes. And it's not something that the First Nation tribes are unique with in a problem here as far as obesity with the population.
Yeah.
Sure. When was the first time you hiked down to Phantom Ranch?
My wife and I backpacked down there. It was in October, so it must have been when I retired. So it was probably the fall of 94. Might have been 95. I retired.
Quite a while later.
Yeah, I retired in June of 94. And so I think it probably was. And we've been down 15 times since.
Okay.
And my wife is going to turn 80 next year, and she wants to go back for that.
So 94, so 15 times out of 20 years.
Yeah, and most of those have been in the last 10, 12 years.
Okay. That's great.
So for a while there, we were doing twice a year.
Oh, wow. So even not just once a year.
And one of those trips, we met you.
That's right.
In those great little dories.
That's right. That was
Gus's wife. That's where we met Gus's wife.
Where he met Sandra. Now,
yeah.
So kind of spiraling this back to Glen Canyon, the other kids on that trip, did you keep in touch with any of them?
No.
Huh.
No,
okay.
There was one. The one kid I hiked with, and I don't remember which one he is when I look at the names.
Uh-huh.
I went to West High, and we both played JV football.
Okay.
That year, and we met there, and that was the only one I ever saw again that I'm aware of.
Okay. And where do you live now?
We live in Indio, California.
Okay.
I taught at Indio High School.
Okay.
And retired, and we stayed here, and we spend the summer at Rocky Mountain National Park, and we volunteer at Joshua Tree National Park in the winter and Rocky Mountain in the summer.
In the summer, okay. What does Grand Canyon mean to you?
Oh, I'm not. I'm not into that. I'm a big fan of Grand Canyon literature of all kinds.
Okay.
And I notice that most books start off with, "You cannot describe it in words," and then they proceed to try to do that.
That's right.
Do you know who Ambrose Bierce was?
Now I have to show my ignorance. The name rings a bell, but...
That's all right. He was a big-name writer at one time.
Okay.
The Devil's Dictionary. He was one of these guys out of Baltimore. He wrote the Occurrence at Elk Creek Bridge, which is
yes.
a famous short story.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Anyway, the story about him is that he was killed by Pancho Villa's men in the Mexican Revolution.
Hmm.
Well, there is another story, and there are some people who claimed to be witnesses that he wasn't, and that he said he was going to the Grand Canyon to commit suicide.
Hmm.
And there are people who wrote that they saw him in a bar on Whiskey Row in Prescott after he was supposed to have been dead in Mexico.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, that kind of weird part of history of Grand Canyon always fascinates me. And I was always taken with the roping lion stuff by Zane Grey as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have a small collection, which I just added your book, of books about the Grand Canyon.
Oh, you're very kind.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But as far as trying to get meaning out of all of that, I'm not into that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to tell you if you asked me, but I thought, you know, that's always a good question
to ask people.
I've got
some photos that I think are the greatest photos ever taken by any human being in the history of the world, but
I'd love to see them. Sure. So besides the hiking in Phantom and down to Supai, have you hiked anywhere else in the park?
Yeah, I did in one spring in college, probably around 57. We were going down, a group of college kids, friends, we were going down Hermit's Trail. To what creek is that over there?
The Hermit Creek, and then you go over to Monument Creek.
Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, there were four
Boucher.
Or five of us going down, and every kid, for one reason or another, dropped out, and I just went.
Just by yourself?
Yeah, I went down, and I spent three or four nights down there at the bottom of the canyon on the creek.
And how was that?
It never occurred to me till later when people started asking about it that some people would think that was odd.
Huh. I think that'd be magical.
It was. It really was, because at that time I was involved in the platoon leader's park of the Marine Corps Reserve,
okay.
And so the only walking I'd ever done was with a pack, a 9.5-pound rifle, and at a forced march pace. So that was pretty neat.
Hmm. So it was down for four nights down,
it was could have been three or four or something.
Did you see anybody else on that trip?
I do not have any memories of that whatsoever.
Huh. Did you keep a journal?
Oh, no.
Did you take any pictures?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't own a camera we don't even have pictures of my kids as babies much.
Huh.
Then I wound up teaching photography and working in some minor levels in commercial photography and journalism photography.
And taking lots of pictures.
Oh, yeah. I shoot every day now because it's free and I delete them all.
Yeah.
I bet I shot 25 pictures today of geese.
Is that right?
And kept two. Yeah.
So.
But I didn't do that. Yeah, I really feel bad about that. I feel bad about it. We don't have kids of our babies much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So 4 or 5 days on the Hermit. Where else have you gone?
That's about it. The
okay.
first time we went down South Kaibab, it's when that summer or that fall, I guess it was still hot, but my wife was already pregnant, and we were going down to, I don't know where, Skeleton Point or something, I guess. But by Cedar Ridge, we decided, with her being pregnant in the heat, that we were not really prepared to do this kind of thing. We were just as bad as the rankest tourists. Got to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Huh. Did you ever go around to the North Rim, spend any time over there?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time at the North Rim. In the late 60s, I was went back to Flagstaff finally to finish my master's, and we had a Volkswagen van. We'd go up there camping with the boys.
Hmm.
And we were just there last year. the year the lodge opened in May.
Okay.
Or the week the lodge opened, when the rim-to-rim guys were all up there.
Okay.
Yeah, and we walked down not as far as Cottonwood.
Roaring Springs, did you get that far?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another little side canyon story is in our work at Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yes.
We came across this neat little young man, delightful, personable guy that was a summer seasonal law enforcement ranger at Rocky. And he had a Grand Canyon connection. And I wasn't listening. He said he grew up in the Cottonwood area.
Oh.
And, you know, and about three, and we talked to this guy. He's a wonderful young man, very impressive.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I both were just charmed by him. And then about 3 minutes after we left, she said, "That's Silas Aiken."
Yes.
You know.
Fun.
Yeah. And I would have asked for his autograph. I got chewed out by Mary once.
Did you? How?
Oh, that was wonderful. We were going down to some friends. We were walking down from the North Rim, going down to Phantom Ranch. And a guy we were with fell down and hurt himself, twisted his back.
Okay.
And he was limping pretty badly. And we were nursing. He was, the other friend was took most of his pack, and I was with this guy helping him along. And we passed their home, and Mary came out. And I knew who she was because I'd read about her. You know. And she started cross-examining me rather viciously to see if I was qualified to handle this guy, to help this guy. Oh, she was delightful. Yeah.
And what?
Like I assured her, I said, you know, I have, no, I can do this.
How did it turn out?
Oh, he walked on down and he had a beer and he got okay. The next day, 2 days later, he walked out.
Okay.
They did, when it got down there, the EMT ranger called the helicopter and had it on standby, but he was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What other?
He walked out on his own.
What other
miles later.
Experiences do you remember that way of your,
yeah,
your?
You remember the weirdest things, yeah. That was the same trip my wife, who was walking ahead of us, saw the pink rattlesnake.
Oh.
You know, which people talk about, but you hardly ever get to see.
That's right. Fun. And have you ever been out to Toro Weep? Have you headed out that way?
No, I have not, and that's always big on my bucket list.
Okay.
Have not.
And the journey.
A lot of the canyon I really want to do.
Journey through by boat?
I have not ever done real whitewater.
Okay.
I've never been in anything that would be called whitewater by a real rafter, people in your business.
Well, I don't know about that. But, okay. What else, as we're been at this now, closing into an hour?
Yeah.
What else would you like to capture on tape here? You're thinking about Glen Canyon and Grand Canyon.
Let me think about it and see if I can come up with anything intelligent to say.
Yeah.
This is 60 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Which I can remember. I can't remember what I did yesterday or this morning. Yeah.
I know the feeling. I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, well, it's equal opportunity. It'll happen to you someday.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time here. I'm going to...
Well, I hope I did you some good.
Well,
I appreciate the work you're doing on the river and for the river.
This is all fun. You're very kind. I'm going to email you...
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh, what?
It's very faint. 1951, Barry Goldwater with his address.
Oh, is that right?
I bet that didn't last long.
I wonder if that was the first... Was that the first time Barry had...
1951? Probably not, but I...
I don't know. I'm so poor in my history of...
Seems like I've come across his name pretty close to a Zane Grey's back in the 30s.
Hmm. No, you're right, because he was in the 40s. He did a river trip with the Nevilles down through there in the 40s. So
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes back a ways. That's a wonderful... Who's Who list. Is that Rainbow
that
Bridge
is,
register?
Waldo Dixon, that crosses my mind as a famous writer. I mean, writer or artist, but he's a writer, you say?
I don't know. What is interesting is Paramount Lasky. That's an interesting connection. And you're not doing much with your spare time these days, aren't you? You could check up on that with Paramount, couldn't you?
Well, I could try. I don't have any connections. I'm surrounded by all these people around here, the names, but they don't invite me over for beer. We have Oscar winners. I've had students of Oscar winners and people like that, but I don't have any pull with them. They don't even let me in that country club much.
Well, no, it would be, if Lasky had been down through there, it would be really interesting to see if there would be a way to find.
Well, I know he talked about a film situation. They were going to try to use it. I don't know if background for the Westerns, or it could have been a documentary on that. It could have,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
So they were. So that was in the register that they had talked about taking the films.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could probably, the Park Service probably has that. I don't know if Gus ever got the whole thing, but I did. They sent it to me. They just gave it to me. I offered to pay for it, and they said, no. I guess I was one of the first people to even ask about it.
And I've got that as well.
You do?
You bet. You bet. It's a great resource.
To read.
Great resource. It was so helpful.
Fun to read.
Doing the Big Water book to be able to run out and go, well, wait a minute, what year were they there? And then what month were they? What day were they there? And then go look at Lee's Ferry at the stage gauge and say, okay, well, the river was flowing this much.
I was able to do a little bit of that for Gus before then, but I think he finally went ahead and got the whole.
He did. I think he did.
But
as well.
He kept asking me questions, and I found his name and the dates and those things. Yeah.
Fun. This is great. Well, Don, thank you so much for your time
on
this.
Okay. Well, thank you for your interest, and I helped you.
You did wonderful. Again, I will email you a PDF document. If you could sign that and mail that back to me, that will go with this recording, and that will head off to Special Collections at the South Rim, and it'll be there.
Okay, fine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. And that conducts the end of this interview with, again, Don Hay. Today is the 22nd of November, 2014.